We share with you the word of God today. Appreciate the song. Appreciate being here in Pacoima once again. It's been, a year, I guess, since we've been here. We're still saved. Thank the Lord for that. We want to turn to 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. I want to start reading. The main text is going to be around the 12th verse. If you have it, you can read it for us.
4:12.
Yes.
Let no man despise thy youth.
It said, let no man despise thy youth.
Be thou an example
of the believers
in word,
in conversation,
in charity,
in spirit,
in faith,
in purity.
So
what I want to deal with today is being an example. Be thou an example. Let no man despise thy youth. This is Paul giving instruction to Timothy, and Timothy was a young minister of the gospel. And so he's given us some instruction, and at the beginning of this chapter it speaks about, now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. So he's giving Timothy some instruction, and the instruction that he gives Timothy is that there are going to be some things that are going to come your way. There are going to be some things that you're going to see in your lifetime that are going to have some effect on you, but he wants you to be an example. And he goes down and he gives him additional instruction, not just in that one scripture, but he gives him additional instruction all the way down through these scriptures for him to be an example. And I thought about how in the Bible, when you look at the Bible, there are stories. The Bible is stories of people's lives. And what those stories are about is people that were ordinary people like you and I. Nothing extraordinary about them. They didn't have superpowers. They weren't supernatural. None of them were. And but this is the Word of God. And this Word of God brings together these stories of men's lives, and it gives us a background of it, and we're able to look at it in an objective way. We see the motivation in their hearts. The Lord looks into the hearts of those individuals. When Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, when he's talking to different individuals, he looks into the hearts of those individuals. They have their words that they speak, and then Jesus responds to that. And not only Jesus, but all through the Word of God, we have these examples of people's lives that are just like you and just like me. Nothing very different about it. If we were to go in this, and maybe we feel like sometimes we're in situations that seem like they're unique. And Brother Darrell, you don't understand my situation. My situation is one that is unlike any other situation. If you go to the Bible and you read in the Scripture, you'll find somebody that went through the exact same thing that you're going through in principle. And so there is nothing new under the sun. Nothing that you will go through, somebody else has, whatever you go through, somebody else has already gone through. Whatever you're about to go through, there is an example, the principle of it is in the Bible. And so what we have to do is we have to look at this, because the Scripture, I want someone to turn to 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and read the 16th verse. A very familiar text of Scripture.
All Scripture.
Now we take into consideration what we're talking about. Scriptures, again, this is Paul's instruction to Timothy. And it's Scripture. The Lord spoke it into existence, or he gave it to Paul. It became part of the Word of God. All right? So he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God
and is profitable
for doctrine,
for reproof,
for correction,
for instruction
in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for correction, is profitable for instruction. So the reason that the Lord basically puts the Scripture down, one of the reasons that the Lord gives us this Bible and we have this Word of God, is for instruction. Yeah. It gives us instruction of what we're supposed to do. Have you ever tried to put something together? You got something for Christmas and you tried to put it together without the instructions? Everybody's done it, haven't we? Have you ever gotten a puzzle and tried to put a puzzle together without the picture? You have no idea what this is all about. You have no idea what the picture looks like or what it's supposed to be when you're finished with it. And you're trying to put all these things that are these pieces, you're trying to stick them together and make sense of them, and you don't have some example to look at to come to the conclusion that this is what it's supposed to look like when I'm finished. So generally what we do, we've all done puzzles, no doubt. Generally what we do, we start with the edges, don't we? We find out the edges, but if you don't know what the picture is, it's very difficult to know which pieces go together. Do you realize that this is what our lives are like? We have no idea how to make heads or tails of our lives without there being an example.
Amen.
So what we have in the world today is folks are saying, you know what, let's get good role models for our children.
Yeah.
I want somebody that, athletes and actors and all the people that are rich and famous, they're wanting to be good role models. Those are not the role models that I want my children, that I wanted my children to follow.
Amen.
The role models that we should follow are those that are close to us and those that are endeavoring by the grace of God to live right. Those are our examples. So he says to them, be an example, and it's our responsibility, is the responsibility of every one of us, everyone that calls himself a saint of God, you're to be an example of the believers.
Yeah.
Now, what I'd like to say this, all of us are examples to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a child, I learned that my father really, when I was a child, my father didn't know what he was doing. He wasn't very a good father in some things when it crossed the way that I felt like I wanted to go. You know what I'm talking about. It wasn't until I became an adult and a father, well, later on in my life, after I got a little more sense in my head, I realized he was a good father.
Yeah.
And I realized that he was a good example, and he did the very best that he could with what he had. But he was my example. And I decided and I determined in my life when I was young, there are certain things that I'm not going to do when I get old. Did you ever feel that way?
Yeah.
When I become an adult, I'm not going to do that to my children.
Yeah.
And you know what I found out? I found out when I got old, the very thing that I said I wasn't going to do was the right thing to do. And you know why it was the right thing to do? Because I had seen an example and I saw how it worked.
Yeah.
And then now what we got nowadays is this newfangled stuff. Folks want to say, you know, don't whip your children because it causes them to be angry and all these kind of things. Well, that's not what my parents did. My parents whipped us and whipped us pretty good.
Yeah.
All right? And it's not what the instructions of this word says.
Yeah.
It doesn't say just talk to little Junior when he's 3 years old and he'll understand. That's not what it says. That's not the instruction that is given here, is it? The instruction here is sometimes the only language that they understand is a strap on their backside.
Yeah.
And that's some good instruction.
Yeah.
But he tells us how to do it too, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And we're not doing it in anger. We don't whip our child out of anger.
Amen.
He tells the fathers how he is supposed to treat his children. And he tells the mothers how she's supposed to, and he tells the children how they're supposed to respond to their parents.
Yeah.
All right, that's the example. And so we understand what we're supposed to do because we've been given instruction by the Word of God that this is the way that it is. And if we follow that instruction, it'll be the best thing that we ever did.
Right.
All right? So we are to follow that, and we are to understand that what this Bible is speaking about and what it says is really what we're to do.
Yeah.
Be thou an example.
Yeah.
So in other words, what the Lord wants us, first of all, to understand as saints of God, folks don't know what saints are really supposed to look like until they see one.
Yeah.
All right? Now, so you see people in different situations, under different circumstances, and those individuals, you can tell generally if there's somebody, if that person is a Christian. You know, most people have that general understanding. All right? So let's turn to another scripture. Let's turn to Romans, the second chapter, and let's read the 12th, start at the 12th verse.
Many as have sinned without the law,
they shall also perish without the law.
As many as have sinned in the law,
they have sinned in the law,
they shall be judged by the law.
They shall be judged by the law.
For not the hearers of the law are just before God.
The hearers of the law are not the hearers of the law that are just before God,
but the doers of the law
shall be justified. Read.
Or when the Gentiles which have not the law.
This is what I want to get a hold of. When the Gentiles which have not the law
do by nature the things
contained in the law,
these having not the law
are a law unto themselves,
which show the work of the law
written in their hearts,
their conscience also bearing witness,
and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. All right. And then it goes on, in the day which when God shall judge the secrets of men's heart by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Now he's talking here, according to his gospel, the Lord is going to judge you and he's going to judge me. So this is a very serious thing for us to get a hold of and for us to understand of what God is requiring of us. It's my responsibility to get to know that.
Yes.
It's your responsibility to get to know it as well. All right? So here, what I want to bring out in this particular passage of Scripture is that the Lord has written a moral law
mm-hmm.
on the hearts of every man.
Yeah.
All right? Every person comes with some level of understanding of what God requires of them. Some level of understanding.
Yeah.
Maybe not a complete understanding. Maybe not to the point that it's clear in their mind exactly what they're supposed to do. But there is an understanding that they have, and as long as they follow that, that's what the Lord requires of them. All right? And the thing that is interesting is most people have some understanding of what a saint of God, how a saint of God is supposed to respond under almost every circumstance. All right? So this law here, this moral law, gives us a level of understanding of how we're to respond. And everybody that is looking on us as examples of the believers, they have to some degree a level of understanding of how I should respond in this kind of a setting. When things press up on me, do I have, as a Christian, now as a human being, we can go off, we can get angry, we can get upset, and we can throw things and do whatever it is that folks do, and people understand that. Well, you have a right to be angry, we say.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard that? You have a right to be angry, and I understand your anger, and I'm not messing with you about that, we say. But then when you're a saint of God, and you, do you have a right to be angry?
No.
Not in that way, do we?
No.
Scripture says, be angry and sin not. There is a way that God intends for His people to respond in every situation that we're ever faced. And if we're not the right example to the world, do you know that we are a bad picture? The puzzle that they're supposed to see, what they're supposed to be looking at when they're trying to put their lives together, and here we are supposed to be examples of Christ, and we're not showing forth the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, do you know that that's giving them a bad picture of what Christianity is all about? You remember back in the 80s, probably, late 80s, early 90s, when all the televangelists were falling, and how that affected Christendom,
yeah.
How it affected everybody. I believe the Lord, in one sense, let's put it this way, all things work together for good.
Yeah.
And I believe God wanted folks to see that there is true saints, and there are people that are not true saints. Now, if it was like that, if Jesus said to the Pharisees and to the different ones, ye hypocrites, do you suppose that there are no hypocrites in today's day and time? What do you suppose that we would do, I would do if you just started pointing out and saying, about you're a hypocrite.
Lord,
you suppose, this is what Jesus did.
Yeah.
And you're being an example to all these folks in church. They see you act a certain way. And then when you're away from church, you act another way. That ought not be.
Amen.
That is not something that God is pleased with.
Amen.
Lord help us.
Amen.
But it's something that happens all the time.
Yes.
But it doesn't have to happen with us.
Amen.
You know, I say oftentimes, and you probably heard me say this, the person that should have a clear understanding that you're Christian is not the saints that are here. It's the people when you go home
uh-huh.
and they close the door
mm-hmm.
and you roll your sleeves up, let your hair down, whatever you do to get comfortable.
Yeah.
Those are the people that should be able to testify that that's a man or woman of God. You know why? Because they've seen you in situations, in various situations.
Yeah.
Folks, the church don't see you in all those kinds of situations all the time.
Amen.
But the Scripture says here, be thou an example of the believers. That's our responsibility. Be the example of the believers. Now, we talked a little bit earlier about parenting. And do you realize that nearly everything that we do everything that we learn, we absorb, really, from an example. The way that we speak, you know, some folks have, if you live in southern part of, it's not so prevalent here in California, but live in southern part of the state, Jason, Texas, there is a definite, what I call a Texas accent, and everybody else calls it a Texas accent, too. Now, do you suppose if somebody sat down and explained to him, now, this is how I want you to talk? Did the mother or dad say that to him? That I want you to have this drawl, that every word I want you to say it a certain way, and I want you to drawl it out. That's not how it happened, is it? How did they absorb that? How did they come up to that where they're talking just like that? I'm not going to talk like that anymore. And that they talk just like that. They learned it how? But they heard it. Yeah. They learned it by example. And it was just right there before them, and that's just, it's normal.
Yeah.
Now, folks in California might think it's a little funny to hear that,
uh-huh.
But the folks in Texas feel like that's just normal. We don't even hear it anymore.
Uh-huh.
It's just what's natural because it's what the example that's been laid out before them,
yeah.
And unless you make a conscious effort not to do it,
uh-huh.
You will talk like that.
Oh, yeah.
All right? So there are certain ways that you talk in certain cultures. And so in the same way, when we come among the saints of God, there is a certain way that we do things, and there's a certain way that we don't do them. How do we learn that? We learned it by example. There's a certain way we pray. There's a certain way we testify. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, because I believe that that is an example that we're supposed to set forth,
yeah.
Before the folks. But I want, what the point that I want to make here is that it's all laid out by example. We are being an example of the believer. In word, in the words that we speak, in what we say, in what we do, in conversation, how we respond to things, we are an example, and the world is looking at us. And what I'm learning nowadays is that what we're finding is that there is becoming a redefinition of what Christianity is all about. So if we redefine this example where it's not where you can live holy, and it's not even necessary for you to live holy because the grace of God, it covers everybody. You don't have to, you can sin more or less every day and still be a saint of God. You can be once saved, always. These are things that are not, that I haven't heard out there in the world, just out there in the world. These are things that I have seen creep up right among the people of God. And our responsibility is to be so strong and be the example of what's right. I've heard somebody say to me, I believe that you can smoke, drink, do a whole bunch of things, commit adultery, and still be saved.
Oh, Lord.
I heard it with my own ears.
Mm-hmm.
And as someone that once believed and lived an example just like you and I are endeavoring to do today.
Oh, Lord.
I've heard that.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is, if we, and the reason this individual says that this is what you can do is because they have experience, or they have explored, let's put it that way, they've explored the grace of God. And the grace of God covers all of that, and you don't have to be worried about that. I've not heard just one person say it, I've heard a few people say it. Let's not say a multitude. A handful. They believe it like that now. Lord, help us. You be an example of the believer. What do you believe then? You believe just anything goes? You believe that you can just live any old kind of way and make it to heaven? That's not right. That's not according to these instructions that this book holds. And what's happening nowadays is that people are putting questions in our mind about this book. And about what we believe and about what we teach. Lord, help us. And so now what we do is, if we're not careful, we'll begin to follow the wrong examples.
Yeah.
When he said to Timothy, he said, the Spirit speaks expressly, Timothy, that some are going to depart from the faith. Some are going to do that. Some are no longer going to be the examples that they once were. They're going to depart from the faith. How's that going to happen? By giving heed, just listening. Do you know that there are some things that it is our responsibility to avoid? Some things we're not to listen to. The way that these individuals will get in trouble is by listening. He said, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils.
Yeah.
And so what we, well, they make a good point. Well, okay, I'll just, okay, you got 5 minutes? I just want to talk to you about something. Something's been on my heart and mind, and, you know, I just don't see it like this anymore. Don't listen. Brother Darrell, don't argue with those people. You know, I learned that the hard way. Here I am, a preacher, and, you know, I'm always Mr. Fix-It. Well, if I talk to them, I try to reason with them and pray with them, and then maybe it'll work. But you know what I've learned? You know, I'm by nature, I'm a very optimistic person. By nature. All right? Anybody that's known me for any length of time, my wife could attest to that. I'm very optimistic. I always see the best in everything. But experiences change you, don't they? You can go through experience, some certain experiences, and you become a little bit more cynical about whether or not you're going to be able to get through. And so when you read the scripture that speaks about avoid profane and vain babblings, avoid them, you understand why to avoid them. Because what they'll do, if you're not careful, they'll uproot. They'll just go underneath your foundation and just work with it. Just ever so, this philosophy, which is falsely so called. And it'll uproot what you believe. And you know, some of us are not strong enough to listen. Really, none of us are. None of us are strong enough to listen. Some are less strong than others. And it depends on why you're listening. It depends on whether or not God has given you something that you can stand on and you can hold to. Yeah. And your responsibility is to be an example.
Yeah.
Now, all these things that are flying around and all these things that are going on, what your job is to do is you to be the steady one right in the midst of it, Lord, having to be rooted and grounded right here and stay right here no matter what comes or what goes. No matter what everybody is saying around me, no matter what everybody is doing around me, help me to be an example of the believer in the words that I speak. And how I do things, how my conversation, let's go back to that. Let me be an example, Lord. What is it? And no man despise thy youth. Now, you know, all of us are younger than somebody. And, you know, of course, this is one of the scriptures the Lord gave me when I was much younger. I got all this gray hair. I'm not young anymore. I'm middle-aged. Right. And, you know, there's something about that. As you get older, you still think young.
Oh, yeah.
I understand how old folks don't want to be called old. I want to be older. I'm older. I'm not old. I'm older. But you still think like you did when you were 30 or 25 or something like that. Your mind still clicks.
Yeah.
And you don't want to... But you see, when you look in the mirror, and you're standing there, and you're looking in the mirror, you're thinking, huh. You see the wrinkles coming?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, it's then you realize that what am I leaving to those that are behind me? You know, it used to be that we felt like, you know what, that we looked to the older saints. And they were our examples.
Yeah.
And they were the ones that we really looked up to. And then when you look in the mirror, you're the older saint.
All right.
But you know what we always do? We always push them up a little bit.
Yeah.
So there's always an older saint.
Yeah.
But you know, it comes a time in our lives that you're to be the example. Did you stop looking to the older saints? You understand what I'm saying when I say that? Of course, we always look to the older saints. But it comes a time in your life, in my life, that I have to understand and realize that I'm the one that people need to look to as an example of the believer. Now, Paul was telling Timothy this, and Timothy was younger than what I am now. I don't know how old Timothy was, but I know he's less than 50 years old. And so now he's saying, you be an example. Let no man despise thy youth. Don't let him pat you on top of the head and tell you that you don't have what it takes. You let no man despise your youth. But you be an example. Let me tell you what will happen. When I've heard of people that
that feel like that I want somebody to listen to me. Been trying to tell you this for I don't know how many years and nobody seems to be listening to me. Let me tell you how folks listen to you. They watch what you're doing and they see the effects of your whatever it is that you're saying. Your actions are speaking louder than your words. And if your actions aren't an example, you don't even need to talk to me. If you're not doing you're not doing what you're saying, don't tell me to do what you're saying either. We have the saying that don't do as I do as I say. Well, if you're not doing it, I ain't going to listen to you. I'm not going to hear you say it either.
Amen.
Lord, help us. Be an example, saints. That's our responsibility. Saints of God, be an example, all right? So, I've been in situations where people say, well, I thought you was a Christian. Have people ever said that to you? I'll tell you one situation. Of course, I've been in real estate for many years, and I've had to go to court and evict people that don't pay their rent, right? I don't know anywhere the Bible says to leave them in there. You know, just leave them in there until they get ready to pay. You know, I generally am long-suffering with the folks, and I let them, go a little while, and if they tell me that they're going to be able to get it in a certain time, I'll give them that amount of time. But, some folks just take advantage of it. And some folks never have any intention. So you go to court. I was at court one time with this person. Of course, I'm sitting there, and I give him all kind of, and he's talking to somebody else next to him. He said, yeah, he's supposed to be a preacher. I said, I am a preacher. Not supposed to be one. I am one.
Yeah.
And I'm doing according to what the instructions give me the liberty to do as well.
Yeah.
And what the court gives me the liberty to do. It's how you do it.
Yeah.
Didn't say you couldn't do it. It says how you're to be an example of how to do it. Now, of course, they're kind of loud talking you and wanting everybody to overhear what they're saying so that it'll make a bad light on you. But it didn't make a bad light on me. And let me tell you, saints, when we do it the way the Lord intends for us to do it, the world can't say anything. They can say it, but it won't stick.
Right.
Now, you get all up in their face and you tell them, give them a little piece of your mind, I've got a problem with that, and the Lord has a problem with it, too.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to James, the 5th chapter. Pray for us. James 5, verse 10. Yes.
Take my brethren the
prophets.
Spoken in the name of the Lord.
For an example of suffering afflictions.
And of patience.
Behold.
Yes.
We count them happy which endure. Take our brethren the prophets for an example of suffering afflictions. I look at some folks that the Lord uses. Do you know the Lord uses people? And sometimes folks don't understand. We believe in divine healing. And we honor folks that trust the Lord for their healing. I believe there's something to that.
Yeah.
I believe it is I believe it's according to this doctrine. It's not just something the Church of God decided to do.
Yeah. Amen.
I believe that there is all kinds of evidence, and we're not going to go into that. But I believe the Lord chooses people to suffer. And not everybody can suffer like some people. I look at Sister Karen and how she's held on in the suffering that she's gone through. And I can appreciate her very much.
Yeah.
And we don't understand what the Lord is doing. And sometimes we wish we did. Lord, I wish you could give me an understanding of what it is that you are doing in these situations. But I believe the Lord wants us to see that He still hears and answers prayer. We've got folks, she's got folks she doesn't even know praying for her.
Yeah.
And then we see how the Lord heals her brother of a terrible a heart attack. The man was almost dead and God healed him.
Yeah.
And what that tells us is an example, and he was sick for many months, wasn't he, brother? How long was he sick, Brother Curtis?
At least a year.
That he lingered and lingered almost to the point of death many times. You went to him and you looked at him and you thought, this man is not going to make it through the night. But the Lord healed him and he looks as healthy as I do. Now, what if he had not been willing to be the example to us? Do you know what does it do for me? It inspires my faith.
Yeah.
It gives me an example to look at, an example to say, you know, if the Lord can do it for him, the Lord can do it for me. This is not something that happened years ago when I was a little boy. This is not something that happened back in 1880. This is something that happened right now.
Yeah.
And we're to be an example of those that believe that God can heal. We can do that.
Yeah.
There are others. There are those that are sitting right here that have examples of what God has done for them.
Yeah. Amen.
You're an example of those that believe the Word of God and stand on the Word of God. Because this is more true than what my circumstances are. This is more real than what my circumstances are. This, no matter how bad it looks, what's real is when I stand on the Word of God, the Word that spoke this world into existence, I can stand on that Word. That's reality. So I can be healed because God healed this sister, this brother, this sister. These people that are right here in this city, God healed their bodies. Now they're example of the believers. Don't go to me and tell me, well, the saints, they're making a mistake when they tell folks. We don't tell folks not to go to the hospital.
Amen.
See, folks want to take these things and twist them and take them all out of context.
Yeah.
We tell them to live where you are.
Yeah.
This is where you are. Live there.
Amen.
And what we say, endeavor by the grace of God, you have faith to believe that God can heal you, then trust Him and I'm going to stand by you.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Lord, help us. Because I'm encouraged.
Yeah.
When I see that the Lord is doing something for you, I'm encouraged. When one member suffers, all of us suffer.
Yeah.
And does your heart go out when you hear that somebody's in pain? Does your heart go out and you go to prayer and maybe get a call in the middle of the night and there's that somebody's in a dire need and your heart goes out? Why does your heart go out? Your heart goes out because you realize that could be me next time, and I want you to pray for me.
Yeah.
I want to pray for you like I want you to pray for me.
Yeah.
I want to be the example of a prayer warrior. I want to be an example that maybe everybody around the world prayed, but listen, I want to see that my prayer gets through and that I'm part of the rejoicing and the victory that you have.
Yeah.
I want to be an example of that by the help and the grace of God. And saints, don't live shabby lives.
Amen.
Don't live shabby lives. Folks, somebody is watching you.
Yeah.
Somebody is looking at what you're doing. And somebody is looking at what you're not doing.
Yeah.
And have you ever heard of folks saying, you know, the reason I don't go to church is because there's too many hypocrites. Yeah. Nobody lives right over there. Or, you know, everybody's doing what... Don't allow that to be said of you.
Yeah.
Lord, help us. Be an example. Let me tell you something else to be an example of. Be an example of coming to church. See, I can say that here. I can say it. And y'all let me come back, won't you? You know, church is not important to people anymore. Let me tell you something that's going on. There is, and it's not according to Scripture. Now, I feel like if you're shut in, you have every right to stay at home. But if you're just doing it because you're tired and you work late Saturday and you just want to take Sunday, I just want my Sunday to myself. Do you suppose the Lord is okay with that? Y'all saying no. You don't suppose He's okay? But the preacher's got to be. We can't go call you and say, what's going on? I've done that before. I do it from time to time. But people get offended by that, don't they? And some folks I know I can get away with it. I better go to church, because if I don't, Brother Gerald's going to call me and see what's going on. Miss a couple Sundays. I just want to make certain you're okay. I want to make certain you're okay. That's all I have to do, isn't it? But you need to be an example to the other saints. Because there's an effect when there is a group of people that come together and share with one another. There is an effect that it has on one another. All right? All right. Yes. Come to the house. That's good. I haven't done that one yet. Acts 18 and verse 24. Read it for us, please.
Certain Jews,
yes,
that named Apollos.
Certain Jew named Apollos.
Born in Alexandria, an eloquent man.
He was a very eloquent man.
And mighty in the scriptures.
He was mighty in the scriptures.
He
came to Ephesus.
This man was
instructed in the way of the Lord.
And being fervent in spirit,
he had a lot of good qualities about him, didn't he? Being fervent in the spirit, he was an eloquent man. He was instructed in the ways of the Lord, fervent in spirit.
He spake and taught diligently
the things of the Lord,
knowing only the
baptism of John.
And he began to speak boldly
in the synagogue,
whom when
Aquila and Priscilla had heard,
they took him
unto them
and
expounded unto
him
the way of God more perfectly.
And
when he was disposed to pass into Achaia,
yes,
the brethren wrote,
exhorting
the disciples to receive him,
who,
when he was come,
helped
them much
which had
believed through the grace. Now, this is an example of us taking
instruction in it.
Yeah.
This
is an eloquent man.
He probably
talked better than
Aquila and
Priscilla. He probably, he did some instruction in the ways of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught diligently. You see the words that are explaining who he is, fervent, diligent, the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly. You see the words? This was a man that was not afraid. This was a man that when you saw him, there was something that impressed you about him.
Yeah.
Or it wouldn't have been written in the Bible. But he didn't know everything, did he?
Amen.
And so here are some saints probably didn't know. I don't know how much they knew. I don't know how eloquent they were, but it didn't say that they were necessarily eloquent, but they took him to the side and they began to expound the Word of God to him more perfectly.
Right.
Now, what you're doing here is good. Now, this is how we do it sometimes. Do you know sometimes it is the way that we approach people? Now, we're being an example of the believers here. It is the way that we approach people as to whether or not it turns them away or not.
Amen.
And so, I wonder how they approach them. They say, you know what? I really appreciate what you've done, what you're preaching and how you're preaching and how bold you are and how fervent you are and how eloquent you've been. And the Lord's really blessing you, and I thank the Lord for it. But there are a few things that I want to show you. You got a few minutes.
Uh-huh.
I want to take you to the side. Sure, I've got a few minutes. And here, he comes over to the side. And this is an example both of those giving instruction and those receiving instruction.
Yeah.
All right? It's a two-way street. I can give instruction if someone doesn't receive it. Now, I give it all the time as a preacher, and probably if you talk to any of these pastors, we give instruction all the time that folks don't follow.
Uh-huh.
And you know when you're giving it, they're not going to follow it.
Yeah.
But you have to give it anyway because you have to be true to their soul. And you have to have an understanding that the Lord is requiring this of me, and I'm going to have to give an account to the Lord, so I'm going to make certain that I tell you exactly what I believe the Lord would have me to tell you, and you're not going to hear it. And I know you're not going to hear it. But I'm not going to tell it to you like you're not going to hear it. I'm going to tell it to you like you are going to hear it. And this is what has caused me, this is my experiences now,
yeah,
talking. Because I know that some of the things that we're going to say are going to be very difficult for you to receive, because I've learned in my own experience that if somebody comes to me and gives me instruction, it is my duty to receive that instruction.
Uh-huh.
No matter how hard it is. And you know why? Because I say, what right do I have to give somebody else instruction,
uh-huh,
if I can't receive it myself?
Uh-huh.
And so what we have is an individual that you give instruction to, and you would keep them out of trouble, and they would stay out of trouble if they followed it. But then when they don't follow it, guess whose phone they call?
Brother Darrell, you know, I know what you told me to do, and I just didn't feel that I could do it at that time. And I know I probably should have done it. And you want to say, yeah, you sure should have done it. And you know, sometimes I tell them that. When the Lord gives me the liberty to do it, Paul told them that. He said, I told y'all not to leave here. Remember when the ship was wrecked? He said, I told when it wrecked and all that fell out, he didn't pat him up and say, oh, it's going to be all right. The Lord's going to take care of you. He said, I told you not to do it. And you know what? Pardon me?
After long absence.
All right. Yes, he did. And he told them in the right way. And you know why I believe the Lord wanted them to tell him? Because I believe that they went back and they said, you know what, that man, you know that Paul guy that told us not to do that? He reminded us again. And now he's getting ready to tell us what to do. All right? He said, I told you great harm was going to come upon you.
Yeah.
All right, I told you that, remember? He said, now listen, I want you to do what I tell you to do now. Because the Lord's, the angel of the Lord has been with me tonight,
And this is what he wants you to do. Now, had he not reminded them of that, do you suppose that they would have listened to him the second time? Don't get out of the boat. Don't get out of the boat. Nobody's gonna be saved if you get out of the boat. Don't get out of the boat. And so then those people were reminded that if we'd listened to him in the first place, we wouldn't be in this situation. So it probably is in our best interest to listen to him this time. And so I believe that that is what gave them more courage to say, all right, even though it goes against what I feel to do, I'm going to do it. And so we have those kinds of individuals that we tell you, this is what I want you to do, but you feel in your mind that you don't have to do it for whatever reason. You feel that you don't have to do it, and we know it. And so the Lord has given me the liberty sometimes to say, you know what? All right, remember when I told you the last time? Remember that you wouldn't be in this kind of a place if you'd listened to what I said the last time? Now, I think that if you listen to me this time, then maybe we can get you out of this. And you say it in love. You don't say it. You don't put your hands on your hip, even though sometimes you feel like that. Now, what you done this time? All right, now this is what we're gonna. And you want to give him a good scolding, but you can't.
No.
Well, there've been times you don't want to do that. Too. Sometimes I have, you know, I have children. Sometimes you wanted to do it to your children, and you know you just can't do it. Don't do it to your children. Then sometimes you do. I told you.
Yeah.
I told you, and you know what? If you hadn't been disobedient when they were younger, I still do it now, but. They don't listen as much. If you'd done what I've told you to do in the first place, you wouldn't be in this kind of a place.
Yeah.
We can say that. Now, here is the example of Aquila and Priscilla and Apollos. So they took him to the side, and he went to the side.
Yeah.
And they listened. He listened to them. And no doubt, the Lord spoke to him. The Lord was speaking to him. Well, you can say, well, you know what? If he was that so close to the Lord, why didn't the Lord talk to him himself? Because sometimes the Lord talks to you through people.
Yeah.
Well, the Lord needed to tell me that himself. Well, he did. He just used one of his servants to tell you.
Uh-huh.
Through the foolishness of preaching. We heard that this afternoon.
Yeah.
The Lord, through the foolishness of preaching, he tells you what it is that you're to do. Through singing. Through testimonies.
Yeah.
Through his people, the Lord gives you instruction. Now it's up to you whether or not you follow that instruction or not. You don't have to follow it if you don't want to, but let me tell you, it's in your best interest to follow that instruction. Alright, so Apollos goes to the side and he listens and he feels like there is this witness that I have that what Aquila and Priscilla are saying is true, and they're showing it to me by the word of God. I'm a mighty man in the scripture. I didn't know that that's what that meant. I see how the connection, they go to Isaiah and talk about one crying in the wilderness and all that. And then he said, now there is one that is greater than it. And they bring it right on up to speed, and he accepts it. He absorbs it. He understands that he has a witness that this is true. This is how we should witness what we believe is right. It is not just because we've been taught this. It is because we know it for ourselves and we understand it for ourselves. Lord, help us. All right? So he receives it, he absorbs it, and the way that they present it to him is not that they are holier than I, and look what the Lord told me, and putting their thumbs in their vests, so to speak. That's not what it's all about. Is this what the Lord's shown me? And as they open it up to him, he receives it, and then they write a letter of commendation. But this is a man of God. Y'all receive him wherever he goes. Not only do they receive him, but when he goes somewhere and gets to preaching and there's somebody there, and he gives him a little letter of commendation there, and then there's something maybe he don't have quite right there, or maybe he didn't understand it to the fullest extent, they can give him instruction too. You suppose that he would be willing to receive it from them? I believe that too. So we are to be willing to receive an instruction and be an example of the believers in everything. In the way that we receive counsel. In the way that we give counsel. Be an example of the believers.
Yeah.
All right. Now, Hebrews 12, verse 1.
Wherefore?
Wherefore?
We also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses.
Lay aside every weight.
Sin
would just so easily beset us.
And let us run with patience.
All right, well, that's good enough, because I really want to just deal where we are. Sin, we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, examples. These are pictures of what it's supposed to look like. If you go back in the previous chapter and you see about faith, this is what it's supposed to look like. So we can read this chapter. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain. They wandered. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins, goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world is not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. All these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. It goes on and talks about Moses. It talks about Gideon, Barak, 32nd verse. Read it.
32nd.
Yes.
And what shall I more say? For the time was fail me to tell of Gideon.
Gideon.
And of Barak.
Yes.
And of Samson. And of
Jephthah.
Of David.
Samuel. The prophets. Who through faith they subdued kingdoms. Wrought righteousness. Now who are these? These are just people that God uses. Who are you? These are our examples. These are the clouds of witnesses that the Lord has used during the annals of time. Since this word was written, there are folks that have stood by and been good and been examples of the believers. I think about Job and what Job went through. I haven't been through what Job's been through, but Job's been a good example to me of suffering. And my responsibility, your responsibility, is to be a good example to those that are following on. Moving toward our conclusion. First Peter 2, verse 12, 21. 1 Peter 2, 21. And someone can get us John 13 and 14.
1 Peter 2,
21.
For even hereunto,
yes,
are you called.
Yes.
Because Christ also suffered for us,
leaving us an example
that
ye should follow his steps.
Who did no sin,
neither was guile found in his mouth. Now this is a good example, isn't it? Whom when he was reviled, he let him know how he felt about it too. He gave him a few. What did he do?
He reviled
not again.
When he suffered,
he threatened not. Didn't say, oh, y'all better be glad I'm saved. Y'all been tempted to say that? Oh, they better be glad. They better be glad. We heard a little bit about that this morning, didn't we? Yeah. Better be glad I got the grace of God. I wonder how much grace you got if you're having to say that.
Right.
Lord, help us. All right? But we've all probably been tempted there, been there. Lord had to deal with us about it, didn't he? An example. What would it look like if you'd have went off on them while they were going off on you? And you were in their face while they were in your face, and you wasn't backing down, and you were letting them know that they weren't going to run over you in the name of Jesus. That's what we say, don't we? That's how we feel. Lord, help us. But Jesus, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. He committed himself to him that judges righteously,
who his own self
bear our sins, all that you did in his own body. So if he bore our sins, do you suppose that we could bear something that the other folks are doing? Their sin? Their transgression against us? Can we bear it? Can we put up with it? Can we just deal with it? Lord, help us. Can we be the example of the believers that we're supposed to be? Because we know, maybe they didn't mean any harm. Well, maybe they did mean some harm. When we were sinning, we did it on purpose, didn't we? That's what sin is. We willfully do something that we know is wrong. And he said here, who his own body, own self, bear our sin. He did it. He did it. God didn't force it on him. He did it. His own self bear our sins, not his sins, in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul. So what he did, it drew us back to him, didn't it? All right, so he says here and two, where ye call, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. He came down and he walked on this earth to be the perfect example. To let you know and me know, let us know, that it can be done. He was our example. And what is the next thing? Who left us an example who did what? No sin. So if he's the perfect example, then that means, now let me tell you, this is subtly creeping in among the saints of God, that you cannot live a holy life. On the fringes, I've heard it. You can live a holy life. By the grace of God, if you die to yourself, you can live it. Oh, you're just fooling yourself. No, I'm not. It's possible. Then why did he leave it as an example for me to get as close to it as I possibly can? It's my understanding. It's when I have an understanding. And this is what people don't understand. You live to the level that you understand. There may be folks that can get away with a whole lot more than I can and still be saved. But what I know is right, I've got to live there.
Yeah.
I can't live below the standard of holiness that I understand God is requiring of me. And you can't live it any lower than what you require. And let me tell you what happens. What tends to happen is somebody looks at the example of somebody that has been saved for 50 years. All right? And they're going to try to duplicate 50 years. It took how long? You know how long it took you to be saved for 50 years? It took you 50 years to get what the graces that you have on hand. If you've been saved 50 days, you just stop doing the stuff that you know you're not supposed to do. Don't try to live like grandma, old sister so-and-so over here, old brother Chandler, old brother Dan. Don't try to live like that. You live where you are. The things that you know are wrong. Now, I'm not saying you're slipping up and all that kind of stuff. I'm not saying that. The things that you know are wrong, you stop doing them.
Yeah.
And you ask the Lord to help you. But all the other stuff, the Scripture says you're going to grow into that.
Yeah.
Grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Seems like I bring this up every time I preach. But let me tell you, there's a reason that Scripture says grow in grace.
Yeah.
Because those of us, and I'm one of them, that grew up in the church of God, we have a whole lot more understanding than we have grace to live it. So I understand how old mother so-and-so, she can live, she's supposed to live. I understand that she lives up here, but it took us 60 years to get there. You've been saved for 60 minutes. Live that way. Live the way the Lord tells you for 60 days. And then as you go grow, you have the knowledge. And you have the knowledge of how you're supposed to live, but you don't have the grace on hand to do it. You seek the Lord for the grace. And as you seek the Lord for the grace, the Lord gives you the grace to live where you are. I tell folks that all the time. They say, well, you know what? I want to trust the Lord in this. I want to do that. If that's not where you are, don't do it. The Scripture says that which is not of faith is sin. You're going to trip yourself up trying to live where somebody else is, and you don't have the grace to do it yet. Now let me tell you, that's your goal. That's the example that you look for, and that's the example that you say, by the grace of God, I'm going to get there.
Yeah.
And it may not take you 50 years to get there.
Amen.
Because you're looking at a perfect example, you see how the pieces are all supposed to fall into place because you've seen an example before you.
Yeah.
And you have a level of understanding, but you don't have the grace to go with it. So what are you praying for? You pray for grace.
Yeah.
So you can grow in grace. Lord, give me enough grace. I see that this is really a goal that I have. This is where I want to be. But Lord, I can't be there right now because I don't have the grace to be there. It's okay. Don't be there right there now. You're not there. I tell people this all the time.
Amen.
But you'll get there if you're honest.
Yeah.
All right? Okay. I am really about finished here. John 13 and 14, and then 1 Peter 5 and 2. John 13 and 14. If you have it, read it for us, please.
I then, your Lord and Master,
yes,
have washed your feet.
I have washed your feet.
Ye also ought to wash one another's
feet. Ye ought to wash one another's feet. Alright, continue.
For I have given you an example.
I've given you an example.
That ye should do as I have done.
I've given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you.
Verily, verily, I say unto you.
Yes.
The servant is not greater than his Lord. Neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him.
All right, so this is Jesus leaving an example of how we're to serve one another. then there's nothing that's really too low. And I'm not going to do that. That's below me. Nothing is below you. Nothing was below Jesus. And he left us an example that we're to serve one another. When you're in need and there's something that I can do, my responsibility is to do it because I see an example that the Lord has laid out here. 1 Peter 5 and verse 2. Let's start at the first verse. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Not a filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but as being ensamples to the flock. That when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So he's saying here to those that are in leadership positions, those that the Lord has made to be over the flock of God, the pastors, the ministers, that we're to be examples. In everything that we do, we're to be examples by the help and the grace of God. And not lords over God's heritage. Some folks want to be preachers because they can tell folks what to do. Do you realize that we're living in a generation that folks don't listen to you? You can't tell folks what to do no more? I don't know if you ever could, but you sure can't now. So all you can do is be an example of what God would have you to be. And that's our job. That's the job of the ministry. That's the job of the saints of God. Every one of us, it is our responsibility to be examples of God's flock. Because there is going to be folks that you're going to come in contact whose life is just torn apart. And all the pieces are just laying on the ground. I don't know what to do with my life, they say. And my life is just... Things are just going out of control. And now what they need is a picture of the puzzle. They need to see what Jesus looks like, what it looks like to be a child of God. What does that look like under pressure? What does it look like when things are going completely out of control? What does it look like? What do I have? What do they have, they say, that I can look at, that I can see that, you know what, that's what I want. I want that. I want what that person has. And saints, if we're living shabby, shoddy lives, nobody is going to come. Nobody is going to want what we have. Because it's not the real thing. It's not a true picture of Jesus. It's not the example that Jesus left us. This is the picture that he painted, whether or not a man can live a holy life who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Let me tell you, when we stopped sin, the whole point in me getting saved was not to be a better person. There were some sins that I was committing that I didn't want to do anymore. And do you suppose that if we teach that you can't live a holy life, you can't live free from sin, do you suppose that really is something that people really want? Why would you want that? Why would I want to not live free from sin? That's where my problem started. That's where the issues are in my life. The sin that is in my life. Now what? Jesus is going to cover and he's not strong enough to completely annihilate it and get it out of my life? Don't justify wrongdoing in your life. Don't justify it. And don't let anybody else come in among us and justify it as well. Don't let them do it. Now it may be difficult for them to live a holy life because they haven't died yet, but one of the requirements of being able to live this kind of a life is there first has to be a death. Yeah. And then what actually happens is that there is a resurrected life from that death, and that's what we're living, a resurrected life. Jesus, in after his resurrection, he did things that nobody else did. He appeared in places. He walked through walls, walked through doors. He did the impossible. Yeah. And do you know, spiritually speaking, once we die to ourselves and we have seen the example of that, then there is a resurrection and we do the impossible. Yeah. We do things that nobody else, that people say cannot be done. But it's not us doing it. It is the power and the Spirit of God working in us that enables us to be able to live a righteous and a holy life. He's the one that said he left an example. He's the one that said he came down here and he lived it to show you and I that we can live it too. Because he said, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience. through the things that he suffered like you and I. Everything that that I go through, everything that you go through, Jesus went through it in principle. Every temptation, he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Everything that you go through, Jesus went through it as well. And it speaks in one place, Philippians. How does that go? Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Made himself of no reputation. Took upon himself the form of a servant. Made in the likeness of what? Man. And being found in fashion as a what? A man. A man. He humbled himself. And he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Saints, that's where it's all at. But let me tell you what's happening in our generation today. In our generation, they don't want to die. We don't want to die. And we can do it all intellectually, and we can intellectualize this Bible, and we can say that intellectually that's impossible for you to do. You can get all kind of theologians and all kind of folks with alphabets behind their names, and they can tell you how technically it's not possible, but then you got old sister so-and-so who's been living it for how many years now? Now, I don't know, he's got way more education than she can hardly read.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, there's an example of the believer right there.
Yeah.
I'm going to listen to what old Sister So-and-so rather than this doctor of divinity over here, because Sister So-and-so has proved that the Lord's word is true.
Yeah.
That if you die, you can live.
Yeah.
If you humble yourself, the Lord can raise you up.
Yeah.
Lord, help us. That's our example, saints. Don't let somebody show you something else. Don't let anybody show you anything. You be an example. You be an example of the believers in word and conversation, indeed. Pray for me.